Today on Real Radio.
Jesus guarantees life forever. Verse 25. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, yet shall he live. That's one of the most beloved verses in all of the Bible. You know it by heart. This is a declaration that Jesus Christ is in fact the source of eternal life.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his study series through the Gospel of John. We're in a sub-series as we take a look at chapter 11 and verses 17 through 29. It's called Jesus is the Resurrection and the Life. And of course, the context is where Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. And as we know, the loved ones of Lazarus got upset with Christ because they thought he didn't show up in time. But of course, as we'll see, the entire story had not yet unfolded before them. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
You don't have to admit it. I'm going to admit it for you, because you and I are exactly alike. When we can't figure things out and when things have hit us upside the head, we often come to God and say, if you would have been here, this would have happened. We all say it. We all question him. It's not a rude thing. It's not a mean thing. Even in her criticism of Jesus, there's a lot of faith in that statement, isn't there? What is she saying? You are the one. If you would have been here, this wouldn't have happened. That's a lot of faith, isn't it? Though she's criticizing him, she looks to him and she says, if you would have been here, this wouldn't have happened. Is she hurt? Yes. Is it like a child who's frustrated and throws themselves on your chest and is pounding on your chest and then finally begins to break down and cry? Exactly. Have you ever been there? I've been there too often to say. Jesus, if you would have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. She's torn between two realities. He's Jesus Christ. He can raise the dead. The other reality is, my brother's dead. It's the fourth day, you know. There's a lot of evidence against her, isn't there? These girls are going to pipe up next week and say, Jesus, almost to discourage him, don't raise him from the dead. Surely by now he stinketh. Frustrated faith, we often have that. Just tell God about it, okay? It's all right. Tell him, Lord, I'm frustrated with you. If you'd have just thrown money in our mailbox, we could have made our house payment. On and on it goes. Jesus represents life itself. They knew this. The girls knew this. They remember hearing, if not in person, it relayed to them. In John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 4, when it was announced by John the Baptist that concerning Jesus, he's the light of all men, that in John 1, 9, John says, and this was the true light which gives light to every man that comes into the world. John the Baptist preaches that Jesus is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. They would have heard about in John chapter 3 that Jesus speaks and tells Nicodemus, you must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. They know who he is. Verses 23 to 24, we see here that Jesus promises life divine. Jesus promises life divine. Jesus says to her, your brother will rise again. And this is good Jewish theology. That's true. Remember what Job believed in? It's true. Jesus says to Martha, your brother will rise again. She, being a good Jewish girl, says, I know that. Oy vey, I know this. There's a general resurrection. I know that. It's been taught in synagogues since the day I've been born. We hear it at the temple a couple times a year. I know this. I understand that. And Jesus is just building her faith. First thing is, there'll be a resurrection, Martha. Hey, John, what about you? There's going to be a resurrection. Kathy, there's going to be a resurrection. Mike, there's going to be a resurrection. What are you going to do about it? So what am I going to do? What do you mean I'm going to do about it? Hey, the Bible says in John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29, and Daniel chapter 12, the scripture says that all people who have ever been given life will be resurrected. Everyone, even Adolf Hitler, will be resurrected from the dead. Did you know that? Charlie Manson, resurrected. I guess he's not dead yet, is he? That man's only alive that God might save his soul. You know that? That's the only reason why he's breathing right now. Everybody will be resurrected from the dead. The just, the Bible says, and the unjust. That means the born again, the believing from Adam to the last person ever hears the gospel and responds, to those who never responded to the gospel. All dead will be resurrected. All of the believers will be resurrected. In the end, everyone will be. Some, the Bible says, to eternal life, and some to eternal death. So all mankind will experience a resurrection, but only Jesus promises divine life to those who believe him. Job said it in Job 19:26. He says, after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God. How did he know that? He didn't have a Bible. The oldest book in the world. And that man says, I know this, that when my carcass is dead, somehow I'm going to stand in my flesh and see God. That's resurrection. Listen, just to set the record straight, because it kind of ticks me off, quite frankly, that I hear stuff from so-called Christians. Reincarnation is true, right? No, it's from hell. It's a doctrine from hell. Reincarnation is from the pit. Well, I met somebody the other day, and they said in a previous life they were from hell. Wrong. Non-biblical, anti-God doctrine. The Bible teaches resurrection, period. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, there's a great verse there. Philippians 3, 20 and 21. It says, for our citizenship, the word is politic. Our passport, our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. That means, frankly, he picks up his arm and he says, and he flexes his muscle. Concerning death, concerning resurrection, he's it. And the beautiful thing is, he's going to take these bodies of ours and he's going to change them. Now, I said this in a different message, but I said this yesterday to 500 high schoolers. It went over like a ton of bricks. You want to know why? They don't want their body changed. They're high schoolers. But for those of us who are not, come quickly, Lord Jesus, even so. I've been battling the sickness thing in my throat and my sinuses for so long, and a friend of mine's a doctor, and he was here at first service. He says, okay, you need to take this for your head, take this. You need to take this for your chest, take this for your, and he's going like this. And I'm going, I should have wrote it all down. And it's almost like, okay, this pill's for this hand, this pill's for this hand. And it's like, oh my gosh, is that where I've come to? I mean, you can just bleed me and I'll just donate medicine to you, you know? What is that? Lowly body. He's going to transform our lowly body. What kind of lowly body is it? The word lowly means depressed in the Greek. Depressed body. It means the humiliation. You looking in a mirror lately? Oh. I know. Have you noticed as you get older, you get sucked into all these TV things too? 1995. You know, and why? Our vile bodies, they're perishing. The Bible says in 1 John 3, verse 2 and 3, 1 John chapter 3, beginning at verse 2, great verse of the Bible, it says, beloved, that's all of us, beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we will be like, but we know this, that when he is revealed, that is the coming of the Lord, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, and everyone who has this hope purifies himself even as Christ is pure. What hope? That he's coming back. And what's he coming back for? To change our bodies. We're going to get raptured. It's going to be great. Crutches are going to go flying. Wheelchairs are going to be gone. Ace bandages are going to be left behind. It's going to be great. Jesus promises life divine. Jesus guarantees life forever. Verse 25. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, yet shall he live. That's one of the most beloved verses in all of the Bible. You know it by heart. This is a declaration that Jesus Christ is, in fact, the source of eternal life. My friend, you may be a skeptic this morning. You may be arguing with me right now in your head. And you just keep it right there in your head. And you're battling this thing about Jesus and how, oh, how can he be so wonderful? How can he be so strong? My friend, he is the resurrection and the life. And you know what? You can call him a liar. You can deny him all you want. You can put your fingers in your ears and hum a happy song. The fact of the matter is, 3 days after he died, he rose again from the grave. And you've got to deal with that. You've got to deal with that. Before he died, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. Now, everybody in Israel should have put him on notice, and they did. And as soon as he died on that cross, they could have pulled out their stopwatch and watched him for the rest of the weekend. And on Sunday morning, that tomb was empty. Why? He's the resurrection and the life. It's awesome. On what hope do I hang my resurrection? On the fact that Jesus vacated a tomb in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. You take away the resurrection, my friend, and we don't have a gospel. Don't you think in 2,000 years of scrutiny that they would somehow found something to discredit the resurrection as much as Jesus is hated? I don't know if anybody watched C-SPAN this week, but boy, is Jesus hated. My goodness, what an absolutely hypocritical nation we are. I watched Patrick Leahy, the Democrat from Vermont, rag on Jesus in front of everybody. I didn't hear anybody say anything about Buddha or Muhammad or anybody else. Jesus is the giver of life. It's a spiritual issue, my friend. It's an eternal issue. And frankly, Satan doesn't want you to know about eternal issues until it's too late. When Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life, he's making the declaration. It's the fifth one, by the way. There's seven of them in John's gospel. When he says, I am, that's a declaration of deity. If you remember, I don't know if you do, but let me refresh you. The first one was in John 6:35. I am, that's a declaration of deity, the bread of life, declaration of deity. The second one was John 8:12. I am the light of the world. The third one we heard him say in John 10:7, and that was, I am the door. The fourth one was John 10:11. He said, I am the good shepherd. The fifth one was in John 11:25. That's before us. I am the resurrection and the life. And we're going to cheat and go ahead two more. The sixth one he's going to say in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the seventh one will be in John 15:5, when Jesus says, I am the vine. Seven declarations of deity. You can't get around it. Seven times in John's gospel, Jesus declares that he is both the God of the Old Testament and the Savior of the New. You cannot deny his deity. He's the wonderful life giver. He's the God of all comfort. He's the God of all life. And third and final point, Jesus is the resurrection and the life, and that he's the God of all hope. He's the God of all hope. Verses 26 to 29. It says here, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. He says, do you believe this? He's the God of all hope, and that we see this, that his is an enduring hope. Why did I put that? That he's an enduring hope because of this thing. Have you ever looked at the hope of the world? Have you ever looked at the hope of the world and what they say is hope? This is the hope of the world. I've got $5 million stacked away. That's their hope. That's only good if the United States is good. Oh yeah, but that's going to happen to America. I'm young, I'm healthy, I've been healthy all my life. Just stay that way. What is the world hoping in? I got a lotto ticket. And what do? Oh, I hope, I hope, I hope. That's the hope of the world. What does it mean when somebody says, I hope you're okay? What does that mean? It's sweet. What's it going to do for you? I know they mean well, but what can they do? And what kind of hope is it? The hope of the world is empty. Why do you think the world is looking to get filled? It's because they're empty. The hope of the world, in my opinion, leaves you wishful, always wishing. It leaves you blind. The hope of the world's capricious. That is, it's whimsical. You don't know where it's going to be at any time. You can't grab it and hang on to it. It's erratic. It's brutal. Because it has no meaning, has no meat. But the hope of God and Jesus Christ being the hope of all. The hope of God is factual. Aren't you glad? Did you know your faith is founded upon fact? Well, you Christians, you make that big blind leap of faith. There's no blind leap of faith. There's more evidence that Jesus Christ lived and all of the prophets and the nation Israel and all the stuff that the Bible spoke about. What are you, crazy? Well, I like things more sure. That's why I believe in Darwin. Wishful thinking. You better hope Darwin is true, because if he's not, you're really wrong. And I got news for you. Darwin's not true. It's just been convenient for you to hope in evolution. No, it's an enduring hope that God offers. It's factual. It's enlightening. The hope of God builds you up. It's not some dream. It's sure. It's steady. It's peaceful. When you have hope in God, you're at peace, and it drives all your friends crazy that you're at peace. It's an enduring hope. He says, whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. It's a double negative again, as it was in chapter 10. So it is in here, 11. Never, never die. So what does he mean by that? Lazarus died. What does he mean? It's a good question. There's two understandings to the verse. Number one, that if a person is believing in Christ, listen, if a person dies believing in Christ, death to the believer is only an avenue that opens the door. It's a good thing. Meaning you'll never die spiritually because you've been born again. There's no death to the believer. See, but Lazarus is dead. Yes, he died a physical death, but for the believer, it's just the door that takes you into the presence of God. So Jesus says, if a person believes in me, he'll never die. That's one understanding. The second one is regarding the rapture of the church, which is kind of cool. If a person believes in Jesus Christ at the time of the rapture, you're not going to die. Isn't it interesting that Enoch, what happened to Enoch? He got raptured. Did you know that? He got raptured. Enoch was walking with God, and God took him. He never died. Then the other guy is Elijah. That's a pretty wild story. You got to read it sometime. Elijah, God catches him up into the sky, raptures him. He never died. There's only one other person or group of people, I say person, bride of Christ, group of people in the Bible, from Old to New Testament alike, that speaks of this wonderful escape of death, and that's the church at the time of the rapture. That's an amazing thing. It's exciting. It's an enduring hope. Very quickly, notice this. The invitation is broad. He says, whoever. You know, is that you? Do you want to be saved? Do you want to go to heaven? Yeah, I really do. Then circle the word whoever and put your name next to it, because that's you. Well, what if I don't want to go to heaven? Then you're not a whoever. That's very simple. You want to go to heaven? Do you want to go to heaven? Do you want to be born again? The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever. Now, the invitation's broad, isn't it? The second thing is the requirement. The requirement. What is it? To believe in him. to believe in him. The benefit is you shall never die. I tell you, my friend, this is such a deal. Why wait? Enduring hope. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6, the Bible says that we must hold fast to the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope. The definite article in front of hope. The hope, not a hope. The hope. There's no other hope. Titus 3, 7. And having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The word hope here in both these passages is the Greek word that means this: the pleasurable expectation of a concrete confidence. Don't you like it? It's sure a big difference than scratching the lotto card, isn't it? I love that. The pleasurable expectation of a concrete confidence. That's so strong. I hope in Jesus. There's no other place to hope. It's great. And so, the question comes. The great question. Do you believe this? Believe what? Jesus says, do you believe this? It's a question. What's the answer? That he is the resurrection and the life. You believe that, you're fine. By the way, quickly, Buddhism teaches you that you should believe in the teachings. Do the teachings. Fill in the blank. Make one up, think of one, it's do the teachings. Did you know Jesus didn't say that? Jesus always puts the horse in front of the cart. And Jesus says this: you believe in me. Did you know in all of recorded human history, there's no other religious leader that has ever said, believe in me? Did you know that? Isn't that awesome? You guys, show me some excitement here. I'm so excited. Am I here alone? I guess I'm really liking this message. I'm sorry, I don't know. It's blessing me. He's the only one in history that says, believe in me. Wow. Then everything else comes. Don't try to obey the commands of God and then believe in Jesus. Don't go get baptized and then believe in Jesus. For crying out loud, believe in Jesus, then let all the other stuff come. Put it right. Don't get religious. Get a relationship with him. Know him. He's the only one. The whole issue is, do you believe in me? And you need to do that quickly. Acts 4, verse 12 says that there's salvation in no other name. There's no other name given among men whereby you must be saved. John 20, verse 31 says, but these things are written that you might know that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Wow. That's exciting.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a study called Jesus is the Resurrection and the Life. Now, this is actually one small study series as we journey through the Gospel of John. That means that we'll pick up with more in this study series on our next broadcast of Real Radio, so be sure and join us once again. Now, meanwhile, you can get in touch with us either by phone, which is area code 909-393-7100, or you can visit us at realradioactive.org. And in fact, you can be a subscriber to our podcast of Real Radio at no charge. Again, that's www.realradioactive.org. Now, if you do prefer calling us, again, our phone number is area code 909-393-7100. Again, 909-393-7100. Now remember that Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is a broadcast outreach of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and is able to continue because of your continued support. So prayerfully consider how much you can contribute, either as a one-time gift or as a continuing partner. Here's our address: Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word.
Inside you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.